you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19, verses 1 through 12. This is God's Word. When Jesus had finished saying these things, he left Galilee and went into the region of Judea to the other side of the Jordan. Large crowds followed him, and he healed them there. Some Pharisees came to him to test him. They asked, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any and every reason?" "Haven't you read," he replied, "that at the beginning the Creator made them male and female and said, 'For this reason a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one. Therefore, what God has joined together, let man not separate.'" "Why then," they asked, "did Moses command that a man give his wife a certificate of divorce and send her away?" Jesus replied, "Moses permitted you to divorce your wives because your hearts were hard. But it was not this way from the beginning. I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife except for marital unfaithfulness and marries another woman commits adultery." The disciples said to him, "If this is the situation between a husband and wife, it is better not to marry." Jesus replied, "Not everyone can accept this word, but only those to whom it has been given. For some are eunuchs because they were born that way. Others were made that way by men, and others have renounced marriage because of the kingdom of heaven. The one who can accept this should accept it." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Suffice it to say that what God says on this subject is not the prevailing view in our culture. Sadly, it's not even the prevailing practice in most churches. Jesus was continuing his ministry of bringing healing and wholeness to people who were broken. And some Pharisees came to him in order to find out the truth about what God wanted of men. Now, some Pharisees came to him to test him. The first thing to note about Jesus' answer is that it was in response to people who were not looking for truth. They were trying to find a basis to reject Jesus, to accuse Jesus, to criticize Jesus. There are a lot of people who come to the Scriptures, who go to church, who might even pray, not looking for the Lord to guide them and direct them, but looking for a chance to say, "I tried it and it didn't work. I didn't get what I wanted." These Pharisees were people who prided themselves on knowing the Scriptures, memorized vast portions of the Scriptures, and followed all kinds of nitpicky rules that weren't even in the Scriptures. Very prideful group. Some of them got saved, but as a group, they were a tough group. They just thought they had all the answers. Jesus' response to their question was, "Haven't you read? Are you so ignorant? of what God has spoken? Now, their question was, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any and every reason? There were two main schools of thought, and most of you probably have heard this at some point, but there were two main schools of thought regarding divorce at this time in Judaism. And one said, yeah, if a man's not happy with his wife, he can just divorce her. The other said, no, you can only divorce if it's something really, really bad. And they're asking Jesus to take a position. Jesus' response isn't, well, I lean toward this view. Jesus' response was, what does God say? Haven't you read that at the beginning, the Creator made them male and female? Today in our culture, we have a lot of confusion about sexuality, about gender, about sexual ethics. And for many people, what really matters is just that whatever you do needs to be something that makes you feel right, makes you feel good. And if you're involving someone else with you in your sexual behavior, it needs to be consensual. It needs to be something where both parties are feeling good about this. And as long as that's the case, then love is love, and whatever anybody wants to do on a given occasion is just really their own business. It's nobody else's business. Haven't you read? We didn't come into being because we decided to come into being. We didn't make ourselves, and we are not simply the result of eons of time and chance mutations. There's a Creator. And the Creator created with a plan, with a design. At the beginning, the Creator made them male and female. He made them male and female. It's a binary creation. And sexuality is God's design. It's not something that, God made a man and God made a woman and they discovered sex and God said, oh, I should have seen that coming. Students and staff, let's say it again. Sex is designed by God to be an expression of love between a man and a woman who are married to each other. That's not the message on TikTok. That's not the impression that most people out there have. Sex is something that just basically exists in order to make me have one more way to be amused. No. Sex is designed by God. It has purpose. It should be pleasurable. But the context is a committed relationship between husband and wife. It's not for something for people who plan to get married. It's not something for people who are married but not to each other. It's not for anything except what the designer created. Sex is designed by God to be an expression of love between a man and a woman who are married to each other. Well, I mean, that's not the only context in which some people have sex. I know that. The Bible talks about that. Every kind of sexual perversion that has ever existed on the planet is described in the Bible. Sin is not some new thing that we just came up with in about 2019, shortly before COVID. No. This stuff has always been around. And it's always been sin. And sin produces death. Well, who are you to judge? Hey, haven't you read? It's the Creator we need to be concerned about. You don't need to worry about my opinion. What does God say? He's the Creator, and every single one of us is going to give an account to Him. Well, why does God make these rules? Because God knows what's best, and He loves us. He loves us.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. As parents, and in our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a moment to encourage us. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, to learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we'll remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread His word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We're depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
So, Jesus said, haven't you read that at the beginning the Creator made them male and female? Just those two options. And said, for this reason a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one. Therefore, what God has joined together, let man not separate. Why then, they asked, did Moses command them to give the wife a certificate of divorce and send her away? That's not what Moses commanded, by the way. He said, if you're divorcing her, you can't just kick her out. You've got to do something official that provides at least a modicum of protection for her. But of course, they distorted the law. Jesus replied, Moses permitted you, not commanded you to do this. He permitted you to divorce your wives because your hearts were hard. But it was not this way from the beginning. That was not God's plan. I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife except for marital unfaithfulness and marries another woman commits adultery. And the disciples said, oh my goodness, if I'd known that, I probably wouldn't have gotten married. Well, what are these guys saying? These are the disciples, by the way. I mean, please notice that. The disciples said, this is not the Pharisees answering back. The disciples said to Jesus, if marriage is for keeps, you better really be careful. I'm not sure, you know, it's better not to get married. That's what they said. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I know that in this room, there are a whole bunch of people who have seen marriages that went very bad. Marriages that just turned out horribly. People who thought, I had no idea this person was going to be like this. I think there's got to be an out. Jesus says there is if the person is sexually unfaithful. On the grounds of marital unfaithfulness, Paul, in writing to the Corinthians, expands on this to say that divorce is also permitted in the case of abandonment. If the unbelieving spouse abandons the believer, then they're not bound any longer because it's the other person who has broken the marriage. But Jesus makes it very clear that marriage is commitment for a lifetime. Till death do us part, as we say in the wedding ceremony. The disciples say, well, then I think it's better not to marry. And Jesus says, not everyone can accept this. Oh, you mean you don't have to accept the part about marriage for a lifetime? No, not everyone can accept the single life. God's word makes it very clear that marriage is the norm, and that marriage is a wonderful thing, and that marriage is designed by God in order to represent the relationship between Christ and the church. But not everybody's supposed to get married. And if you want to see from the scriptures the perfect model of humanity, it's a single person by the name of Jesus. Okay? Unfortunately, in the church, to a great extent, while trying to show how great marriage is, we've made it seem that single people are somehow deficient. You know, if you're not married, I'm sorry, we'll try and help you with that. Some people aren't supposed to get married. And Jesus talks about eunuchs. People who literally are not able to have marital relations. And he says that is for some, but it is not for most. The one who can accept this should accept it. If God has given you the gift of singleness, rejoice in it. And by the way, if your goal is to get married, you are much more likely to make a mistake and not have a great marriage. But if your goal is to follow Jesus, God may just bring someone along who's going to be a perfect mate for you. So, should I want to get married or not? You should want to do God's will. That's what matters. For some people, marriage greatly enhances ministry. For some people, marriage would be a distraction from ministry. John Stott, the great British scholar and theologian, was a single man, and therefore in a much better position to do a lot of things that married guys just don't get around to doing. So you're saying really singleness is better. Singleness is better for people who are supposed to be single. Marriage is better for people who are supposed to be married. Well, how do I know which I am? When I was in my teens, I wanted to drop out of high school and go on the road preaching the gospel. I'd already been traveling some and preaching from place to place. God was opening doors, and I was having a wonderful time. And I hated high school. Oof. I came to my dad, and I said, Dad, I really want to drop out of high school. I believe the Lord's coming soon, and I want to be out there preaching the gospel. And he said, well, son, I mean, we talked a little further. I'm compressing. He said, son, I will give you my blessing only if you can commit to me before the Lord that you will never marry. Because if you want to live the life of a high school dropout who's an itinerant preacher, because you believe that's what God's calling you to, I won't stand in your way, but it would be a sin for you to end up with a family that's depending on you and you can't provide for them. So I said, okay, I'm going to go pray about it. So I went downstairs and I got on my knees and I started praying, God, show me. I'm willing to renounce marriage and go on the road for you if that's what you want. And God spoke to my heart and he said, read Genesis. So with some exasperation, still kneeling at the foot of the bed, I opened my Bible to Genesis chapter 1 and I started reading, and it was very familiar. And I got over into Genesis chapter 2 and a verse jumped off the page. It said, it is not good for the man to be alone. And I said, wow, okay, I'm going to get married someday. I was excited, and I went back upstairs, and I told my dad that God had spoken to my heart and told me to read Genesis, and when I found that verse, I knew I was going to get married someday. He said, good, then you've got to stay in school. You're going to have to get an education. And I'm glad I did. It wasn't all fun, but it was all worth it. Now, let me tell you something. If you want to do God's will, God will do what it takes to keep you in his will. If you want to do your will, you're going to have a miserable, miserable life. Because God has something so much better for you. Am I supposed to be married or not? I don't know. The important thing is just that we put the Lord first. We want to do what he wants. If you want to do the will of God, you will. You will. We're sheep. He's the shepherd. He will guide us. He knows our limitations. He knows our capacity to make poor decisions. And he doesn't say, oh, well, you made a bad decision. Get out of here. He shepherds us. He draws us back. He corrects us. He guides us. If you want to know the will of God, start every day by giving God a blank check. Say, God, I'm yours. I'll do what you want. I'll go where you want. I'll say what you want. I'm yours. Whatever you want of me this day. If you're willing to do the will of God, don't sweat it. But what if I miss it? You won't. But I can really, I've made some bad decisions, Pastor. You don't know. I've made bad decisions. That's why we're not in charge of the universe. But our Father is. If you're trusting in Jesus to save you from hell and to give you eternal life with him in heaven, he can handle your romance. He's not going to say, and you know, I've always had trouble with that one. I just, you know. He died to give you life. He cares so much for you. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Well, but what if I get the kind of spouse that I don't deserve? You better pray you do. Okay? I don't deserve to have someone as wonderful as my wife. But frankly, she doesn't deserve to have someone as wonderful as me. It's based on grace. We love each other because God's love is in us. And I've shared this various times in various settings, but there are times when I do things for her just because I think she's so wonderful. And there are times when I do things for her because I think Jesus is worth it. And I'm sure that's a reciprocal relationship. Sometimes she thinks I'm great. When she came out of anesthesia after a surgery some years ago, she was telling everybody how great I am. And I turned to the nurse and I said, I don't know what she's on, but can we have some more to take home? I teased her about it and she said, no, she said, that drug just made it so that I was uninhibited in telling what I really feel. Oh, that's precious. Beautiful, beautiful. She's wonderful. Isn't that great? But let me tell you, there are times she doesn't think that I'm so grand. And she's right. What about it? How do, in this world where we're being told that whatever people want is what goes, whatever people believe about themselves is their truth, and that's their reality, and so forth and so on. Do we just say, well, you know, I guess our views are kind of outdated? No, we live according to God's word. So do we make other people live according to God's word? You can't. You can't. But what you can do is not join them in pretending that lies are true. Don't think that it is loving to pretend that lies are true.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.